Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I would like for us to go to the book of Psalms, and go to Psalm 127. And we'll start there today. Amen? Yes. Psalm 127. And, I had a little reluctance to preach on what I'm going to preach on. Not that it's a bad subject. It's a good subject from God's Word. But it's just that, looking at it, I think, I've taught on this a lot. And then, but it's like this morning, as I was getting ready for church, it's like I thought about this. Okay, I've taught on this maybe a few times this year. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look. But I thought, you know what? The Bible talks about it more than I have. I just got to think about the subject I'm going to talk about. I thought, there are a lot of places in the Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament, that talks about what I'm going to talk about this morning. So I thought, well, wait a minute. I haven't talked about it as much as the Bible does. And if the Bible gives that much emphasis to it, then it must be pretty important that we talk about it and talk about it more than once. Just because we've heard something once doesn't mean we got it. I'm living proof of that. Just because you told me once doesn't mean I got it. Oh, I got it, but I may not keep it. You got to get it, you got to hear it and hear it. Amen? So let's go to Psalm 127. What are you going to talk about, Pastor? Well, I'll tell you here in just a minute. Psalm 127, verse 1, the Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early. How many like that scripture? It's vain for you to rise up early. Hallelujah. Well, we better leave it in context. Amen. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. It's talking about it's vain for you to get up early with worry. It's vain for you to sit up late with worry. It's vain for you to eat the bread of sorrows, to sit around and just be eating the bread of sorrows or the bread of worry, because he's given us bread of life. Right. Hallelujah. And so what I want to talk to you this morning about, and this is what the Lord just put on my heart, is to talk about the vanity of worry. And I'm using the word vanity like in the sense of useless. Amen. All right? The uselessness or the vanity of worry. He says it's vain to do it. There are certain things that are vain to do. It's vain to wash your vehicle when it's getting ready to rain. I mean, it's vain. It's vain to clean your floors when your grandchildren are getting ready to come over. Amen. There's certain things. It's vain to take a shower when you're getting ready to go out and mow and work in the garden. Right. It's vain to tell me not to eat that. Is that the truth? It's vain. Something happened the other day. I got some peanut butter pie. And I like peanut butter pie if it's done right. I mean, if it's got I don't like it where just faintly peanut butter. I want to know there's some Jiffy in there, or some Skippy or Peter Pan. And so this was one of them pie. Oh man! And we took it back. We were visiting some friends and we was at a restaurant and I just took it back with me to eat at their house. And it was a good sized piece of pie. And Phyllis tried to tell me. And Brother Greg Davis tried to tell me that I probably shouldn't eat the whole thing. I ate the whole thing. I was hurting, man. You talk about a sugar OD. For hours, I was like, why did I do that? And it's just like, and they tried to tell me, but it's just vain. She just said, I'm going to quit. I'm just going to stop it. I'm not even going to tell you any longer. Because it's vain. How many of certain things are vain? Amen. It's vain to worry. Somebody said this, I don't know who originally said it, but they said, worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but you don't go anywhere. You're busy doing something, but it doesn't accomplish anything. So what the Lord's just led me to do is just going to look, and I don't know how many we'll look at this morning, but we're going to just go through some scriptures and just talk about the vanity of worry and how it really is vain. Amen. It's vain, and you have to retrain yourself not to do it. Because we're trained in the natural to do that, to worry. Now, that, you know, worry doesn't mean that, we're irresponsible. It means we've cast the care over on the Lord. Amen. You know, see, listen, he's the one that said, casting all your care upon me, for I, can anybody complete that? I care for you. Now, if I tell you, I care about you, what does that mean? That means you matter to me. That means I'll do something, right? So when he says casting all your care, or the Amplified Bible says the whole of your care over on me, that means that he'll do something about it. So why should we care if he's going to care? So that's what this verse is saying. Why should we stay up late if he's already up? Brother Hagin tells a story about World War II. Something happened during World War II. And it was over in England when the Germans were bombing London, and the people would go to the air raid sirens of the night, and, you know, when the bombings would take place, and they had this one little older lady that would always be there every night, you know, when the bombings would take place, because the Germans were bombing London every night for a period of time. And they said, you know, for about 3 days that she wasn't there, and so they were concerned, you know, she must have gotten killed. And then after 3 or 4 days, someone saw her. And they said, oh, you're all right. We thought maybe something happened to you since you haven't been coming to the shelters, you know. And they said, well, why haven't you been coming to the shelters? She said, well, you know, I read in the Bible that God said he never slumbers nor sleeps. So she said, I just decided there's no need of both of us being awake. And her house never got touched. All around her it did, but, you know, she never got touched. Well, she just decided to cast her care over on the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And, so he said, I care for you. You know, you have to renew your mind. Remember in Philippians when Paul said to the church at Philippi, he said, the King James says, be careful for nothing, or don't be anxious about anything. So what do we have a license to be anxious about? Well, now, Pastor, if it gets really bad, then, you know, I can worry about that. How many know nothing is nothing? That means you can't worry about anything, right? Well, you can, but you can't. The Bible tells you not to. You know, we like to major on sometimes what the Bible tells us not to, unless it's something we want to do. Hello. You know, the Bible says don't do that. You know, the Bible says that's sin. And you see some believer doing that, and you think, well, they're sinning, you know, and all. Well, that may be true, but what about those that worry? Hallelujah. Amen. So, you know, because the Bible talks about worry as one of the things that would cause you to miss the return of the Lord. The cares of this life are being so caught up in life. Think about it. Why? It desensitizes you to the things of God. Did you know worry is unbelief? Did you know it's impossible to please God without something called faith? Worry's not faith, it's unbelief. So whenever, so Pastor, I got enough things to deal with. Don't lay something else on me, dear Lord. No. Well, worry's not only unbelief, but it's damaging. It's fruitless. Amen? I mean, you know, and then Paul was talking to the church at Philippi. I didn't finish that verse, but he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, notice this, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, how many, we got to ask ourselves, how much time am I spending thanking God? Thanksgiving will free you from worry. When you let your request or your wants be known with prayer and supplication, supplication be definite request, prayer can be general, you know, a lot of things could be called prayer. You know, worship and praise and all is really kind of a form of prayer when it's done in the Spirit. And so, but supplication is like a definite request. This is what I'm believing you to take care of, God. Amen. And how many know he'll take care of it? Right? I mean, you know, he won't take care of what you should do. You know, like I'm a preacher, you know. You know, you could get, you know, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time now. I don't get nervous like you could get, you know, because I've been doing it too long now. So it's just like I just know if I don't have anything, we'll just go home. You know, but it seems like I always have something, good, bad, or ugly, something coming, amen. And so, you know, but, you know, I can, but you know, just like I've said to the Lord, I said, I cast the care of my preaching over on you, Lord. Amen. I cast it over on you. But see, I still have my part to do. See, I can't do that and not study and prepare and fellowship with Him and expect Him to do my part. I got my part to do, but His part's the results. Yeah. Amen. You know, you can't just say, well, Lord, you know, because Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink, you know. Don't worry about those things, you know, your clothing, your you know, where you're going to live and all that, you know. Don't worry about those things. Well, you know, he said, because, you know, even the birds of the air, your Father, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather in the barns, they don't do anything, but your Father takes care of them. And I've told you before, it was years ago, I heard a survey. There's always all kinds of surveys. Have you know what? Right? We pay for some of those, by the way. With this survey, and I heard the survey, it said this. It said that there is not, and this was like many years ago, but I bet it's still true today. It said that there is not a person on the face of the earth that's rich enough to feed the bird population of Texas, just one state, Texas alone. Have you ever just sat and watched birds? They do a couple things. Eat and you know. Right? They're always looking for something to eat, right? You know, if I don't believe in reincarnation, but if I did, I think I'd come back as a bird. It's like, look, a cool job, man. Looking for something to eat all day long. Did you know the Bible says God feeds them? He not only feeds the birds of Texas, He feeds the birds of all the earth. And He goes on there in Matthew 6, He says, are you not much better than them? In other words, don't be a bird brain. Don't lower yourself below the level of birds. Birds aren't worrying. You don't see on the news, the birds are stressed out because of recession. They just expect it's going to be there. Right? Kind of like when you're, you know, Jesus said you got to become as little children. Why? Well, little children, you know, they got their care cast over. I mean, if you come down and your four-year-old's got a really worried look on their face and they're reading the Wall Street Journal and you say, what's wrong? They say, well, U.S. steel went down a little bit today. They know too much. You need to take the paper away and give them a coloring book or something. Are you following what I'm saying? See, that's the way God expects us. But and that's not like we're irresponsible. We don't go to work. We just sit around. We're trusting God. No, He said go to work, right? He said you don't work, you don't eat. But He said don't worry about the outcome of it. I'll provide for you. Amen. And so Jesus taught that, you know. Birds don't, you know, they just expect it's there. They just expect they're going to be provided for. They don't even ask for permission. A minister that I know, he's in heaven now, but he said one time, he said, you know, I went to preach for this church in Hawaii. Hallelujah. I'm open. My calendar's open for that. But he said, I went to preach for this church in Hawaii, and he said, you know, he said, they put me up in this really nice hotel. He said, man, this is a nice place. And he said, you know, he said, I'm looking down there, and he said, there's like seagulls swimming around in the hot pool. What do they call that? Hot tub. Hot tub. He said, they're not paying a thing. They're just using it. Well, I expect, praise God, it belongs to me. Amen. See, that's what God's saying when He talks about, you know, I clothe the grass of the field. You know, I clothe the lily. I deck the lily out. And Solomon wasn't as dressed as well as a lily is. And He said, I'll clothe you. I'll provide for you. Amen. No, he's just saying, I want you to expect that. There's one thing He did tell us to do. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek it. Put God first. Put His kingdom first. Following after Him. Don't be chasing after money. Remember, He said, no man can serve two masters. For either he'll love the one and hate the other, serve the one and you know, despise the other. So he's not saying you can't have. He said you can't serve God and mammon. Mammon would be like mammon would be. You could say mammon means money, but it's a little deeper than that. Mammon means coveted gain or wealth. It's like going after it. That's what mammon means. So he said, in other words, you can't chase money and you can't chase God at the same time. He didn't say you can't have money and God at the same time. He said you can't chase it. You can't pursue it. That can't be your pursuit of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me now? Amen. That can't be what you're after. You know, I got to make a living. I got to, well, yes, you got to work. But listen, you got to put God first. Amen. Amen. Yes. Are you with me? Don't let the world tell you you can't go to the house of God.
That's right.
Say, I was looking for a job when I found this one.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
You would do that? I absolutely would do that. I would say, look, you can schedule me on Sunday, but I ain't going to be there. Well, you're fired. Well, okay, good. I'll go get another one.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I mean, you might go get the other one before you have it lined up. Just have some common sense about you. Anyway. I can't tell you everything. Amen. It's just some common sense. But you know what I'm saying? Don't let the world tell you that.
That's right.
You know, I've seen people who never can come to church. Why? Well, I'm working all the time. Why don't you get a different job?
Amen.
Well, I got bills to pay. Well, listen, other jobs pay too. That's why they're called jobs. I've never had a job didn't. Well, yeah, I have, but I don't, you know, I started saying I never had a job didn't pay. My dad's given me plenty of those that didn't pay. Growing up, but you know, I've never had a real job that didn't pay. I always expected to get paid. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? And if the paycheck didn't come, you know, I might be compassionate for a week and have mercy for a week, but the next week I'm probably gone. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, not me, Pastor. I just love my job so much. I just work where they paid me or not. Well, praise God. We got some spots for you here in church. Hallelujah. You understand that what God is simply saying there in Matthew 6, he's just saying, he said, approach this thing just like the birds do. That they just expect that there's going to be something there. Just like your little kids. When I was growing up as a little kid, I didn't think about where the food came from. I just wanted to know, is it there? Amen. Well, I just, you know, I thought mom and dad were the all-sufficient ones. El Shaddad, Jehovah Mama. You know, you don't think about that because you're just trusting, right? You know, amen. Well, that's the way God said be. Amen. Be that way. It's vain. Everybody say it's vain. It's vain for us to worry. Well, it doesn't do anything. All it does is produce sorrow in our own life. Amen? So that's why God said, casting all your care over on me. That word cast means to throw it over on God. That means if he's got it, you don't. If you have it, he doesn't. He'll let you keep it. Like a lady said to Brother Hagin, she came up, you know, just crying, you know. Oh, and Brother Hagin said, well, what do you need? She said, I need you to pray. Well, what do you want me to pray about? Well, I just want you to pray. She said, oh, the burdens and cares of this life. I just want you to pray that God would take half of them away from me. Because I can carry the other half. He said, I'm not going to do it. That's not scriptural. The Bible says casting all your care on him.
Right.
Amen. You know, when you learn to do that, you know, guess what? He takes care of it. He's better at it than you are.
Amen.
I will never forget. Now, this wasn't an audible voice, but it was almost like it was audible to me. I was driving. I still remember. You know, when you have an encounter with God, you remember a lot of things about it. You probably remember everything about it. And I had an encounter with God. I was just driving along, and I was on Bell Road in Newburgh, Indiana, you know. And anybody know, you know, where it wasn't there then, but where the Mexican restaurant's at? Acapulco? Oh, come on, help me out. You got to know where that's at. I was real close to that, and it wasn't there yet. I don't even know if Walmart was there yet. You know, when we first came to Newburgh, it was just a 2-lane highway that came through there. There was a Huck's gas station there at the corner, and there was like a metal building. That's what we started our church out in. Now it's Walgreens. And all has changed, but I was driving up through that intersection there. I think there was a stoplight there then. And the Lord spoke to me. I didn't even ask him. I wasn't even talking to him about anything that I remember. I wasn't asking him about this. He just spoke out to me. He said, to carry the care of something is to be responsible for its outcome. So if you carry the care of it, you're responsible for how it turns out. If he carries it, he's responsible for how it turns out. I trust him more than I do me. Amen? And maybe it might have been, I think if I remember back, it might have been the time when we had to be out of our current building. We were in Newburgh, and we had to be out of our current building that we were in, and we only had 2 weeks to get out, and we didn't have any place to go. Now, as a pastor, that can rob you of sleep if you'll let it. Because the devil will speak. Where are you going to go now? Right? What are you going to do now? How embarrassing is this going to be when you stand up in front of the people in 2 weeks from now on a Sunday morning and say, folks, we don't have any place to go to church. We're done. You know, the devil will tell you things like that. You know, he always magnifies it. Have you ever noticed that? How he makes it look bigger than it really is. Amen. He's a liar, right? And the father of it. And so, you know, I remember going through that period of time. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. There were a few nights I didn't sleep real well because I'd hear that all night. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that, about how you got to fight that. But there were a few nights, but I had to learn to cast that over on the Lord. Come on. 2 weeks. Then it was my own fault. We leased that building that Walgreens bought. We had to get out of it. The Bible College let us have. They were so gracious to let us use their building. And it was such a nice facility and had a great auditorium. And it was just a beautiful place. And they let us use that. And they just told me, said, you just give us whatever you want to give us for that every month. And we got to use it on Sunday mornings. And we got to use it on Wednesday nights. And we got to leave our stuff set up. For the most part, we left our stuff set up. We didn't have to carry our sound stuff in and out. So we didn't have any of that. So it was just like a bird's nest on the ground. We loved it. You know, her and I, we went and leased some office buildings in Newburgh so we'd have our own office space, you know. So we had leased buildings there in town, and then we had their building that we used for Sunday morning. But the man had told me when we first talked about it, the man from the college, he said, now, at a certain date, you'll have to be out because we're going to redo the way we're doing school. We're going to do some changing around, remodeling of that place. And I, okay, well, guess who forgot? Guess who didn't tell their wife? Guess who didn't tell Brother Kenny so he could forget? Hey, man. He didn't even remember to come to church today. No, he's off somewhere for a little getaway. I'm teasing. I should have told my wife. I should have told Pastor Chuck and Joanne. I should have told the board. I should have told the elders. I should have told the children's workers, the Sunday school teachers, the greeters, the janitor, the dog walking by. Remind me. Because 2 weeks before it was time to get out, he called me and said, you do remember you're supposed to be out in 2 weeks, don't you? I said, no. He said, well, we talked about that. Okay. I still didn't remember. I said, if you say so, we'll be out. Okay. I went home and told Phyllis, and I did tell her. I guess I did tell her because she told me, she said, he did tell you that. But why didn't you remind me? She forgot. Do you know what it's like to have a congregation, you know? I think we had about 80 people or something like that. I said, you know what it's like to have that, you know, and you got to be out of the building in 2 weeks and you don't have a building. So, man, I mean, I beat the bushes. And that was weighing on me. I had to learn to cast that over on the Lord. I had to cast that down and say, you know, hey, because the devil's painting a picture of defeat in me. It's over with. I've got you. I've nailed you. You're the dumbest pastor that ever walked the face of the earth. I thought, well, that may be true, but you're not going to beat me by that. But God came through. I mean, the week before we found the building over on, we had to come to Evans, but we found the building over on Vogel Road. If you were ever in that, most of you were. It was a pretty nice building. We had to do some things to it, but you see, the devil will just beat you up, you know. What are you going to, see, it's vain. See, me worrying about that wasn't going to change that a bit. I might as well go to bed and sleep sound. And not worry about it. Why? Because it's vain. Unless the Lord does something, we're in trouble. Are you with me now? You know, unless the Lord does something. And that the lease on that place was way more than what we were paying. And I knew if the Lord didn't do something there, we were in trouble. I knew it was God, but I knew he's going to have to come through, or we are hurting for certain, because that's expensive. Come on. Yeah. Amen. I'm trying to think about how many times it was. Let's see, 2, 4. It was 5 times more than what we were paying a month. If I say 5 times.
5 times.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
5 times. Plus we got to do some remodeling to make it into usable for us, you know. I think we had to spend about $5,000 on it, or $6,000. And, you know, which, you know, maybe that didn't sound like much to you, but it was a lot more in those days, you know. And so anyway, but you guys got to learn to cast it over on the Lord. Hallelujah. You know what? If the Lord does, if the less the Lord's in it, that's what the psalmist is saying. It's vain. And it's vain. If God's in it, it's vain for you to stay up and you to worry about it. If you got him involved, amen. He'll take care of it. Amen. So Philippians said that, you know, about what the scripture I quoted. But then it went on to say, after it told you what to do about transferring your care over on the Lord, then it said, whatsoever things are lovely, honest, good report, you know, of praiseworthy, of virtue and so forth, think on those things. So you have to do something with your mind, because your mind is geared to solve things. Right? Your mind immediately goes about trying to solve things. It kicks in gear. It starts. Have you ever tried to find something maybe in your files, and you look and it's not there, and then you look again and it's not there, and you look again and it's not there, and you look again and it's not there? Guess what? It's not there. Get a clue. It's not there. Sometimes your mind's like that. It'll just keep rolling over ways to fix that, ways to solve that. That's where you got to get a hold of that and stop that and say, no, I'm not going to let you do that to me. Come on, you need to hear this, because a lot of people don't realize this. You don't have to think everything you think. Amen. And if you don't learn to cast your care over on the Lord, that's one way the devil will just literally rob and steal from you. He take from you. Amen? Now, I tell you what, we got to learn to have what I call, well, this the Bible calls, that God gave us a sound mind. Everybody say sound mind. Now, interesting thing, that is a Greek word, sophronismos or something like that. And one of the actual meanings of that word, sound mind, it means safe thinking. Everybody say safe thinking.
Safe.
Now, I'm having you say it because I want you to think about it. If there's safe thinking, then what's the opposite of that?
Unsafe.
There's unsafe thinking. Now, what with unsafe? Unsafe thinking is things that will get you in trouble with your life. Right? All right. For instance, you know, people that take their lives, they don't just wake up one day and say, you know, hey, it's a great day, you know, nice day, take your life. Right? What's been going on? They've been thinking wrong. They've had unsafe thinking that they haven't brought into line. And when they don't, if they let it go long enough, it manifests itself. Doesn't it? They've been any thought that would tell you you're better off dead is a wrong thought. It's unsafe thinking. You understand that? First of all, listen, you know, there's all kinds of questions about this. Does a Christian, if he commits suicide, does he go to heaven and so on? Listen, you shouldn't even have to go there with that. Listen to this. The devil will put in people's minds you'd be better off dead. Now, how many know, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the worst thing you could possibly do. Because if you don't know Jesus, the closest to heaven you're ever going to get is right here. This is the best it's ever going to get for you. So if it's bad here, it only gets worse from here. Are you with me now? See, if you're a Christian, this is as bad as it's going to get for you.
Amen.
It only gets better. Oh, no wonder the Bible says we were begotten again to a living hope. Hallelujah. Amen. First Peter said that. Because as a believer, it's as bad as it's going to get right now. And I'm living the good life right now. I'm living for Jesus. I have joy. I have peace. I have blessing, prosperity, health and healing, good family, good wife. Amen. I got everything, it's good now. But yet, there still are tribulations, there still are troubles, there still are trials. We all have that. But that's as bad as it's going to get for me. From here on, it just gets better. Glory to God. Yes. Hallelujah. So, see, wrong thinking will get you in trouble. Wrong thinking. People don't think right about things, and that's why they stay in bondage. If you don't think right about what the Scripture says about certain things, you'll stay in bondage. The devil will keep you full of grief and full of depression. And I'll tell you something else. You got to think right about the promises of God. You got to think right about divine healing. Well, I just don't believe I'll ever be any better. Well, that thinking right there is exactly what's keeping you where you're at. And there isn't no amount of hands laid on you, no amount of anything is going to help you. You got to change your thinking. The thinking keeping you from being what God wants you to be, or to have what God, let me say it, your thinking is keeping you from having what God wants you to have. He wants you to have it, but your thinking is keeping you from it. You have to change your thinking. That's why Paul said, look, think on these things. Amen. Now go to the book of Luke chapter 10, Luke the 10th chapter, and let's look at the scripture there, Luke chapter 10. Come on, are you with me this morning? Luke chapter 10. The Bible, which we're not looking at very many scriptures this morning, I know, but there are a lot of scriptures in the Word of God that talks about what we're to do about worry. And it's all all the scriptures say get rid of it. Every one of them. Says to cast it over on the Lord. Amen. So let's go here, because I want to look at another scripture before we close out. But let's go here to Luke's Gospel chapter. Let's go to chapter 10. Did I tell you that? All right, Luke 10, go to verse 38. And it says, now it came to pass as they, that's Jesus and his disciples, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. Now notice this, and heard his word. That's a good thing to do. But Martha, the King James says she was cumbered. That word cumbered means she was distracted. Sometimes we used to use the word flustered. About much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister left me alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. That she has left me to serve alone. Bid her therefore that she help me. Now, Jesus, you would have thought, Jesus, let me talk to her. Mary, what are you doing? Get up, get in there and cook. That'd been the manly thing to do. But anyway, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are careful, or you are worried and troubled about many things. Notice that. This isn't the only thing this girl's troubled about. Jesus knows Martha and Mary really well. He raised their brother Lazarus from the dead. He eats at their house. They support his ministry. He knows them well. So he knows, Martha, look, this isn't the only thing you worry about. You worry about many things. Many things. Glory to God. I mean, if you don't want to know the truth, then don't hang around the truth. He is the truth, right? One guy said, how the Bible says the truth will set you free. One guy who wrote a book one time says the truth will set you free, but it'll make you miserable first. There's some truth in that. Verse 42, but one thing, everybody say one thing. One thing is needful. So evidently what she's doing is not needful. Right? Worry's not needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now, what did Mary choose? Well, she chose to fellowship with the Lord. Right? See, on a daily basis, you got to watch what you're fellowshipping with. You can fellowship with worry, cares, fears, doubts, and not even realize you're doing it. You're just unconsciously worrying and thinking about, what am I going to do? That's all robbing from you. Jesus said it will steal the word. It'll cause the word to be unproductive in your life. Worry is of the devil. Do you get that? That's how strong this is. Worry is of the devil. I'm going to say it again. You got to get that. Worry is of the devil. It's not just kind of okay. We've all done it. We all have to fight it. But it's of the devil. Amen. All right. And so, the Bible says we're called to fellowship with Jesus. What does that mean? That means we're called to spend time with Him. But what you're thinking on during the day, what you're rolling over in your mind constantly, that's what you're fellowshipping with. And you ever notice that you can get in a bad mood and nothing even happened? You're just thinking wrong thoughts. You know, it's like an old story years ago. You know, when we had, some of you may not remember, but, years ago, my grandparents, they had what was called a well. That's where you got your water from. Now, it was an open well, and you had a bucket. And you'd let the bucket down, get a bucket, the bucket was, hooked to a hook on a rope, and you'd lower that with a crank, get it down there where it got into the water, and crank it back up, And sometimes you'd have two buckets. Depends on how your water usage. You have one, that, you'd bring it up, and the other one's going down, see? And it's getting water, and you just got, are you following me? Yeah. I see it because I've seen it. But anyway, you say, well, what do you mean? We just turn the faucet on. It's like Brother Hilton Sutton said to a guy one time, he was in a grocery store, this guy had a shopping cart full of bottled water. I mean, it was overflowing with bottled water. And Brother Sutton went up to him and said, did you know that they pipe that into your house now? You can actually have that piped right into your house now. But anyway, and then this story, this guy, this old farmer, he had a well there, and he had two buckets. One would go down, and the other one's coming up, and then he'd empty that one. It just kept rotating like that. And there was always one bucket that was always sad, always complaining, always murmuring. And the other bucket was always happy all the time. And so finally, the happy bucket asked the sad bucket, why are you so always sad? He said, because every time I go down, I'm empty. And he looked in the sad bucket and said, why are you so happy? He said, I'm so happy because every time I come up, I'm full. Amen. So it's how you think about things. See, and you can just let that roll around in your mind, that worry and that care roll around in your mind, and you're just in a bad mood all the time. And when you just stop, sometimes that'll happen to all of us. And sometimes I'll just stop and think, now, wait a minute. How many good things do I have going on in my life? Are you with me now? It's like you get a vehicle, and it's just a beautiful vehicle, and then you see a little spot somewhere. Oh, my gosh. Then you want to go trade it off. There's a lot of good things going on with the truck, man. I mean, come on. Yeah, but it's got this spot back. See, the problem is your focus is on the spot. You need to get in heavenly places spiritually and see the way God sees. When I was young, we had a football team. It was Petersburg High School, the Mighty Indians, amen, that could stomp the Winslow Eskimos, the Stendhal, whatever they were, the Spurgeon, whatever they were. Those schools have closed down now. Everything in there closed down. And, Winslow doesn't even have a school now. I guess grade school. But anyway, we would, we had a football team. We were the only school in the county had a football team. We were lousy. We got beat all the time. If we won two games, it was like, hallelujah, And so, but I remember it on our football field, it bordered two streets. It bordered a highway, and it bordered a back street. And so on Friday nights when we'd have games, before the games and all, maybe on Thursday they might go out there and do it, they would put like green canvas, because it was a chain link fence that bordered the property, they'd put a green canvas along the fence, so you a green something along the fence, so you couldn't see in. I'm thinking, well, who would want to watch our games anyway? I mean, who's going to do that? I mean, this isn't like, you know, the Steelers playing here or something, you know. But anyway, you could tear a hole in the canvas and you could peek in. But the only problem is you can only see what's just a little bit. You couldn't see the whole thing. But I noticed before that there was a house across the street. It had a front porch on it, kind of a flat porch, you know, and it had a TV tower that went up. And occasionally people would get up there and sit on that and watch, and they could see the whole game. I don't know why they did that, but, you know, you got to understand. See, some of you are laughing right now, but you don't remember. You go back a few years, we were hard up for entertainment. There wasn't much going on. We had three TV stations. Four, at, you know, if things were going good. So people would do that. But see, here's the thing. The higher up you get, the different the view. You could tear a little hole in the canvas there, and they might be down on the other end, you know, the field. And all you're seeing is this little hole on this end of the field. And you think, well, the game's over. No, you know, there's nobody on the field. But you go up a little higher, you see the whole thing, see. See, that's the way the devil does. He tries to get you tunnel vision. We only just see one thing in your life. But if you go up a little higher, you begin to see more. Hallelujah. You begin to see. We don't really have a vision for eternity any longer in the church. And that's one of the problems, you know. We just think about our lives right now, what's going on right now, and don't realize we're going to live forever. And don't realize what we're doing right now, it all has ramifications to eternity. Amen. Now, let's go to one last scripture. Praise God for the word. Matthew chapter 15. So we have to understand that we can't just let the devil control our thought life, what we're thinking about. Don't let life control your thought life. Don't let anybody control your thought life. Let the Word of God control your thought life. Amen? Don't let your life control your thought life. Let God's Word control your thought life. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, the Word says we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. The Word's promised us victory. The Word's promised us a lot of things. Get in there and fill your mind with that. Now let's go here to Matthew 15, and this is it for today. Matthew 15, verse 29, it says, verse 29 says, and Jesus departed from thence, and he came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and he went up into a mountain, and he sat down there. So how many know, if you go up into a mountain, it takes effort to go up there, right?
Right.
So he isn't in a real accessible place. Is that right? He's in a place where he's not really that accessible. And verse 30 says, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now you say, what does this have to do with worry? Well, I see something out of this. You know, it was not easy for these people to get lame people up that mountain. It wasn't easy to get blind people up that mountain. It wasn't easy to get maimed. That means missing parts. Up that mountain. He healed people that had missing parts. That's what maimed means. They were missing things. They were missing fingers, legs, arms. I don't know. That's what maimed means, right? So, how do you know, these people... great multitudes came with them, having with them. That means the great multitudes brought these people with them. So what's that telling you? Well, it tells you that maybe friends, family members brought people with them that were lame, that were blind, that were dumb, that were maimed. They brought them up the mountain with them. What's that tell you? That took some effort to get them up there. That wasn't easy. Right? Now, if he'd have been on a level plane, that's different, but he went up on a mountain. So it took great effort to get these people up there, didn't it? But But notice what they did with them when they got them up there. They cast them. Casting all your care. You know, no doubt these people were some other people's care. Yeah, you understand that?
Yeah.
They were their care. But they cast them down at Jesus' feet and he healed them. Notice, it took great effort to get them up there. It didn't take great effort at all to get them healed. Now I thought about that. That's exactly the way it is in casting your cares on the Lord. You know as well as I do, it takes a lot of effort sometimes to get rid of it. Doesn't it? You have to really work at it. Hebrews tells us to labor to enter into his rest. What does that mean? I mean, you got to be diligent to do it. It's going to take effort to do it. Right? So that means you're going to have to control your thought life. You're going to have to make yourself and train yourself and renew yourself not to worry. You're going to have to make an effort to do that. It's not just going to happen automatically. In other words, you're not going to read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, say, "Well, I got it, hallelujah, piece of cake." Are you with me now? See, it's going to take effort. I'm not going to lie to you. There's times I have to work at it. But if you do it, once you get it on him, he takes care of it. You know, a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, years ago, he leased a building. He leased a spot, a building, a part of a building. It was actually in a shopping complex area. But he leased it for his church. And so, you know, it's a small town. And so a lot of times in small towns, you don't have to really think much about, you know, the government. You know, and I'm talking about the city government and all the regulations and all the codes. They just don't care in smaller towns. They just do it. I mean, it may be changing now, but, you know, when growing up, you know, in Petersburg, I don't know that we had any codes. I don't know if they still have codes. I don't know. I'm not making fun. I kind of like it that way, but, you know, I understand there's some of it needs to be. I understand that. But you don't have all that. You don't think about that. So you just go do, you know, you want to remodel your house, just go remodel your house. You know what I'm saying? Now here in Evansville, if you want to move the garden hose, you got to get permission. Okay, a little jam on that. All right. Evangelistically speaking. But I mean, even before I've got an outside shed, wooden shed. I had to go get permit to put it on my own property. You know what I'm saying? I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you what I had to do. I had to go downtown and get a permit to put it on my property. I guess I could put it on the neighbor's property. Didn't say anything about, you know, if you put it on the neighbor's property, but on your own property, yeah. So all the things that you do, you know, like if you want to remodel your building and stuff, you got to go get a permit. You got to get permit for everything you do. You know, different things you do. We found that out. Amen. Doing that here. Hallelujah. And he didn't do that. He only had so much money, you know. So he took his money that he had for his building, and he remodeled it inside, put up walls and stuff. Well, he's got the walls up, you know. He doesn't have the drywall on them yet, but he's got it all up. It's all framed out, you know. And somebody from the city walks in and says, "This has all got to come out." He said, "What? It's all got to come out. You can't do this. This has to be fire retardant. You can't use wooden lumber in here. Is there another kind? I thought all lumber was wooden." Anyway, so basically they were saying, you got to take it all out and you got to put metal studs in here. You can't do this. And so he's like, "I just spent all my money. I didn't have any more money. What am I going to do?" I love what he said. He said, "You know what?" He said, "I cast that care over on the Lord." He said, "But God's either a bad catcher or I'm a bad thrower, because it came back." See, that's reality, right? See, sometimes that's reality. What does that mean? That means we have to stay with it. We have to make the effort. What does that mean? Well, you can cast your care once and for all over on the Lord and be done with that part. But now the part you got to deal with is what your mind's going to try to tell you and what the devil's going to try to tell you and how he's going to try to convince you you're in trouble. But if it's over on the Lord, what you have to do is say, well, devil, you know what you're talking to me about? I don't have it.
Right. Amen.
You'll have to go talk to God about it because I gave it to him. It's his project now. So there's no need, there's no need even us to converse about it. I don't have it. I mean, if you came to me and said, Pastor, I want to, look, I need a counseling session for a couple hours. I need to talk to you about you giving me my car back. I don't have it. You need to go talk to somebody else. You're wasting my 2 hours and your 2 hours. I don't have it. You got to learn to do that with the devil, everybody. You got to learn to say, look, you're wasting your time talking to me. I don't have it. I gave it to the Lord. See, that's the fight that you have to have. That's what Hebrews is talking about. It says, let us labor to enter into his rest. That's what the Bible's talking about when it says, fight the good fight of faith. It's not that we have to go back and keep recasting and recasting. Just make up your mind. I'm going to cast it over on the Lord once and for all. Now you have to fight. You may have to fight the fight of faith because the devil may try to talk you into taking it back. But my friend, he finally got that victory and won it in his mind and had it totally over on the Lord. And you know what? When he did that, here's what happened. Here's what happened. The city came back and said, look, we think we've got a solution for you. They didn't get the solution. God's got the solution. But, you know, God will use sinners. How many know that? If it's to bless the righteous, right? And so they said, why don't you just spray those two before us with fire retardant stuff and we'll just let it go at that. Hallelujah. Amen. Problem solved. See, now it looked like the answer came from the city. It didn't come from the city. He cast it over on the Lord and it came from God. Another pastor I know, he was getting ready to build. Actually, I think he'd bought the property and he was trying to get the permits to build his new church. And it was near the airport. And so they're going to the city, you know, and to the council meeting and all. And I'm closing with this story here, but they were going there. And so they're having a council meeting, you know, and they said, well, I don't know. You know, I don't think we want to give you a permit to build your church there. Well, that's right by the airport. If one of those planes came down, it'd crash in your church and kill everybody. He said, well, with all due respect, Mr. Mayor, you just dedicated a hospital at the end of the runway. Well, I don't know that we want a church there. So his people from his church came to the meeting. They're out there. And so he said they took a vote on it, and they voted no. No. Not going to let you. He said, but the person that does the recording said, wait a minute, I didn't get that. The machine jammed. We'll have to re-vote again. He said, you could hear my people praying in the Holy Ghost. Said, it sounded like a bunch of bees out there. Because, I mean, you know, if they tell you you can't, I mean, you know, that's not good. So he said they voted again and somebody changed their mind. One vote was all it took. First vote was no. Second vote was yeah. What happened? Casting your care on the Lord. He took care of it. He probably had an angel tell that guy, you don't let them people have this church. They ain't going to vote for you. You ain't getting back in office. Oh, I better let them have that church. You don't think God will do things like that? Oh, yeah, he'll do things like that. But he's got to have it first. He can't solve your problem if he doesn't have your problem. If you got it, it's all yours.
Right.
Remember what the Lord said to me now.
Right.
To carry the care of something is to be responsible for the outcome. If you're carrying it, it's up to you to fix it. Right. He'll let you fix it, but you better hope you're good. There's just some things, you know, I don't want to try to fix. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.